we head to the US-Mexico border, where coastal waters are being polluted by sewage, industrial waste and runoff, especially from the Tijuana River. Heavy rain in this region can send billions of gallons of contaminated water into the Pacific Ocean, affecting beach communities in both nations. But now a new study has found that some of these pollutants, including drugs, plastics and chemicals from personal care products and tire wear, are actually also ending up in the air, released by sea spray and river turbulence. This means that people are being exposed, even if they don't go in the water. Here's Adam Cooper at the University of California, San Diego.
We were investigating a decades-long sewage crisis along the U.S.-Mexico border, where millions of gallons of untreated wastewater, as well as runoff and industrial release, cross the U.S.-Mexico border into San Diego and release into the Pacific Ocean. And for the longest time, we thought that this sewage would stay in the water. But we've seen from previous studies that some of these chemical compounds and bacteria can transfer into the air. And so we set out to go study which of the chemical compounds could make their way into the air, where people would be much more readily exposed to them through inhalation.
How did you do it?
So we went down to the border, as well as several sites along the coast. And we set up sampling stations to collect aerosols onto the filter by pulling air through a pump, basically acting as if you were standing there breathing for 24 hours and collecting all of the chemical compounds that you'd be exposed to. And we also collected water, both directly from the Tijuana River, as well as the ocean along the coast.
And what then, you compare what you know is in the water, because it's in the river and the ocean water, and then what is getting into the air. So you can see what seems to be migrating between the two and in what sorts of rates and proportions.
Yes, we used a sewage tracer that we found in really high concentrations in the river. It's a chemical called benzoylagon. It's basically what our bodies metabolize cocaine into. And so we knew that the only source of this chemical compound would be sewage in the Tijuana River. And then so we tracked that pollutant through the river into the ocean and from the ocean into the air, and we compared it with the other chemicals that we saw in our samples.
Right, so the cocaine breakdown products give you a proxy marker. This is sewage and this is how much of it there is, so you can standardize everything day to day. I presume that's why you've done that. But then you're looking at a whole range of different chemicals. So what chemicals were you probing with this?
Yeah, we tried to pick chemicals that could represent a wide range of different categories. We detected octinoxate, which is the active ingredient found in sunscreens. We were looking at other common traces of sewage like caffeine, as well as several pharmaceutical drugs and illicit drugs, you know, methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin. And additionally to that, we were looking for pesticides, herbicides, and dibenzylamine, which is a tracer for tire wear particles. We detected all of those compounds at relatively high concentrations, both in the water and in the air. And we saw that some of the compounds would transfer more readily into the air, and some of the compounds would preferentially stay in the water.
And what do you think the mechanism is then for when these things are in the water? How are they getting out of the water and into the air in such appreciable quantities?
So the main mechanism that we expect to occur is via sea spray aerosol. Basically, whenever a wave crashes at the beach, you see the white foam form. That's from millions of tiny bubbles going down into the water column where they can scavenge some of these chemical compounds. The bubbles then come to the surface and pop. And that popping can send these chemical compounds as well as bacteria and viruses into the air.
And in what sorts of quantities? Because you said they're there in significant amounts, but if I'm standing on that beach, it's slightly scaring me to think I'm getting a mouthful of cocaine every time I breathe in, but or at least cocaine derivatives and worse. But how much is the actual dose? I mean, is it relevant to health, or is it there at excruciatingly low levels that people like you with amazingly sensitive analytical equipment can pick up, but it's neither hide nor hair when it comes to a person walking along that beach?
We frankly don't know the full health implications of some of the concentrations we measured. For example, two of our most concentrated compounds were octinoxate, that sunscreen chemical, and methamphetamine. And these were found in the tens of nanograms per cubic meter, which is similar to what a wastewater treatment plant worker might experience if they stood directly above a vat of raw sewage. And so initially that dose, you know, you're not going to get high off of methamphetamine. You'd have to stand there breathing for hundreds of years. But the chronic health exposures, especially for people living in this region, they're exposed to this day in, day out for decades of their life. And we simply don't know the impacts of chronic exposure, long-term exposure to these pollutants.
What do you propose then is the right way forward? Is it just to say, right, well, look, this is a problem. We've demonstrated there's a risk, got to clean up our act. Or does this enable us for the first time really to start to put standards down and say, right, we can measure the air. That indirectly tells us about the water, which is going to be the source. And we need to start doing something about it.
Yeah, there's so much I can talk about here. The golden rule in pollution science is source control. We need to release less pollution into the environment, and it's much easier to stop it at the source than to go back and clean it up later. And that can look like investments in wastewater treatment facilities. There's been a lot of movement from the United States federal government to invest in wastewater treatment facilities for the river itself, as well as wastewater treatment plants for the city of Tijuana. Beyond that, there are ways to reduce your exposure. Humans spend, you know, 90% of our time indoors, and so getting good air purifiers inside can really reduce your exposure to some of these pollutants. And we need to make standards. A lot of our air quality guidelines were developed in the 70s based off of smog and vehicle emissions. We're living in a different world now with microplastics in the air, all of these endocrine disrupting chemicals. And so I believe we do need to update our air quality standards to also encompass these micropollutants, which we're seeing more and more evidence is leading to really negative health effects long term.
Nevertheless, a breath of fresh scientific air there from Adam Cooper at the University of California, San Diego. His study's just come out in Science Advances.